Welcome to E-commerce with Coffee, a podcast powered by Amber Engine, where we share e-com secrets for brands over your favorite brew. We start with the caffeine and then leap enthusiastically into behind-the-scenes e-com insights that led to the success of our guests. I'm Nate Svoboda, and I'm about to serve you up the best. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to today's episode of E-commerce with Coffee. In this conversation, I get to speak with Irina Podubnaya. She is the founder of TrackMage, which is a solution that helps brands get real-time tracking information to their customers without all the headaches that come from dealing with carriers. Overall, with the goal of improving customer lifetime value. And today, we're really going to be focusing in on the ecosystem of delivery times and how they impact the overall customer experience. So, Irina, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Nate. Really excited to be here today and talk about the delivery and everything that's related to the post-purchase experience.
Yeah, no, I'm very, very excited for our conversation today. But before we dive in, you are a very, very busy person. I imagine that caffeine must play some role in your life. Is that fair to say?
Well, it used to. At some point, I was a full-blown coffee addict and I had to give it up. It was a painful decision because I had a very prominent headache. I had to suffer for maybe 3 days from withdrawal, like full-blown withdrawal from caffeine. But then I got kind of cured from that addiction. So right now it doesn't play any role in my life, and I'm happy about that. I do like all the coffee, drinks like hot chocolate and decaf coffee.
Yeah, no, I've never stopped drinking caffeine long enough to go through that withdrawal. But I mean, if I don't have a cup of coffee, I kind of notice that I get a headache like later in the morning. So I can relate to that. But luckily, I've never forced myself to do that. So good on you. That's a big step to make for some people. So.
Not everyone is capable of doing this. I know, like because
no, 100%. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, we're here to talk about you and TrackMage and the value that you provide to your customers. So, can you talk to us a little bit about your background and how you got to the decision to found TrackMage? What was that problem you identified that you set out to solve?
Well, it started actually way back when we had our first business. So we traveled all the way to China to start our first business because we thought that we will have the best products in the whole world and the best prices. And we founded our fulfillment center. We helped retailers and some smaller wholesalers purchase products from China, and we helped them with shipping them all over the world. So what we've seen during that time, that it was really daunting and it was draining us to support all those customers just because of the different time zones. Because the customer could be asking, where is my order, or where is that specific package at 4 a.m. in our time zone? And we still had to reply. And what other unfortunate thing happened is that during the waiting time, customers got impatient. And sometimes they placed a refund request on PayPal or some other means to they were taking precautions. I don't blame them because they don't know us and they only read a couple of reviews on website and they just decided to order the goods from China and they were stressed, definitely. And that's why they were placing those refunds on PayPal. But if you get too many refunds, PayPal starts rolling out some restrictions, rolling averages, and they can even block the account. So we had to deal with that problem. And also some of our customers, they were using the dropshipping model. They had to deal with the same issue. The long shipping times were not comfortable for most of their customers. So we had to notify customers ahead of time. And actually let them know when they are going to get the product. So that was one of the bits that we had to automate in our systems back in China, because in China we had even our own inventory management system, our own shopping cart, etc. But then we just extracted that bit of functionality that we already developed for ourselves And we made it available for e-commerce store owners that are using Shopify, WooCommerce, and other platforms through Zapier. So that's how the journey started, and that's how TrackMage came to be. So originally it was part of a stack that we were using in our fulfillment center business, and then it just became a standalone solution, and we implemented a lot more features that we didn't have back in China. For example, the collection of reviews. So that was definitely something that we introduced later in the day.
I love stories about founders where they have a business themselves, where they identify a problem in that business, and then they start a new venture to solve that problem. I think there's a lot of genuineness in that, and I think that that's very, very interesting. So in talking about the broader customer lifetime value, right? That's a very important business health metric. It helps businesses focus on the long-term relationship rather than just trying to secure the next buy from a customer. So I'm curious, when a business is focused on improving the post-purchase experience to keep customers coming back, what should it focus on first?
I believe the most important thing to focus on is bridging the communication gap. So what tends to happen in most e-commerce setups is that the customer is entertained while we're browsing social media. When they get to the website, on the website, they are placing the order. But after the order is placed, they just get a single notification telling them like, oh, your product is coming to you maybe in 10 days. And then the communication stops. And the customer is left in this kind of anxious void, asking themselves like, am I going to get the product? Did they actually get my order? Do I have to do anything to get that? And it gets worse the closer to the holidays you get. Because customers, they order gifts for their loved ones. They want to make sure that they get the presents under the Christmas tree for Christmas. And that's why they get even more anxious about the delivery. And there are a lot of memes on the internet where the person like, oh, that's me 5 seconds after I ordered the product on Amazon. Like, okay, this is exactly a problem. So the communication gap is also presenting a big opportunity for the brands to get extra sales from those existing customers. Because once the customer bought from you once, it's your customer. And then you can buy, you can actually show them the opportunity to buy from you again. So once you start communicating with the customers, what we've seen is that the communication about the order status or the package status, they are not perceived as marketing emails. And that's why they get huge open rates, like 60%. And that's with the... you should understand that right now, all the email clients, they are trying to cut the statistics from, like the open rates are not very precise. So 60%, it's maybe 70, 80, maybe 100, we don't know, because the email clients were cutting off the statistics. So the idea is they treat those emails as transactional, and that's why they open them, and that's why they are receptive to the messages that they are going to receive. And we've seen that some of those most motivated customers, they are visiting the tracking pages one or two times per day, literally every day until they get the package. So instead, imagine that every time the customer visits this tracking page, they would have sent an email to you asking like, where is my order? Like one time, two times, 10 times until the order actually gets delivered. This is a very common behavior. And while the customer is waiting, they could be entertaining themselves with looking at other products they could buy or some special offers or social media of this specific store. And one other problem that we were able to solve is that once you provide the customer with the shipment tracking information, you don't direct them to the UPS page or FedEx page where there is no personalization available and no branding of your store or your product. So we solved that problem with introducing the tracking page that is branded and customized to the store, where the customer, when they come there, they still see the same branding, same products, same customer support widget, maybe, if you want to provide that. That's the whole idea. So communication gap, bridge the communication gap however you can. If you can send them an email, send them an email. But if you want, you can introduce like the whole, a whole set of tools to continue the communication after the purchase.
It's interesting. I just actually recently had both experiences. One where there was a great post-purchase experience where they were keeping me updated on the shipping tracking information. And then another, to your exact point, they directed me to, you know, the UPS site, the United Parcel Service, and it really told me absolutely nothing. You know, how much do you even trust that information, right? It's sitting in a warehouse somewhere, or it's in transit. What does that really mean at the end of the day? So I love that idea of communication, right? That at the end of the day, if you're giving the customers information about, hey, your package is on the way, it'll be here at XYZ time, they're less likely to go look for a better price on Amazon or see what other, you know, I've done that before. I can absolutely understand that. And it's interesting you talk about.
I would be more afraid for them looking for a refund button or something else, because if they already purchased the product, they are not going to be willing to let go of the money, just in this case. And I've seen some terrible customer experiences as well. I've been part of one myself. Once I ordered a t-shirt from a German company, and they sent it not to Bulgaria, where I'm currently in, but to Belgium. How can you mix the two countries? How?
The whole point of having the country codes.
Yes, so they did. And when I was trying to reach the customer support, and like when I sent them an email, I got a hard bounce, like mail delivery, undelivered email or something like that. Okay, I called their customer support. Some autoresponder in German told me something for 5 minutes, then it switched off. What do I do? I called even the DHL in Germany, like, can you reroute this package because it's going to Belgium, it should be going to Bulgaria instead. I also didn't get a lot of communication from there. And I had to place a refund on PayPal. I got the refund, but that's not the end of the story. In 2 weeks, I received the t-shirt. Unfortunately for them, like, they shipped it to the right address. Maybe we just mixed the tracking number in my order, but I couldn't have known that because we didn't reply to the customer support request. But that's not all. In one more week, I received the second t-shirt. How and why, I don't know. But even later than that, I received a customer support survey. How would you rate our support? And what can we improve? Like, they asked this question, like, what can we improve? I understand that they speak only German, so I translated everything to Alice. Like, and I submitted, like, what can we improve? Everything.
What can we improve? How much time do you have?
Yes. So, yeah. I believe like that terrible customer support experience or customer post-purchase experience, it not only damages the brand, it also strips the brand of the opportunity to sell something again to this customer, because the customer is not going to be willing to risk again. Like, okay, I throw my money at that company, and what do I expect? Like, if everything goes well, the customer will buy again.
Absolutely. And a lot of businesses, they're constantly thinking, we need more and more and more customers, but it's so much cheaper to just to sell another product to an existing customer. They already like, assuming they had a good experience, they already like your brand, they probably like your product, and it's so much cheaper to target them for advertisements and for things that they'd likely, you know, cross-sell, upsell opportunities. So absolutely agree with that.
Yeah.
Can't believe you got two shirts.
Yes, well, two shirts, but like, as a customer, I benefited from that transaction. But for the brand, I'm really sorry, guys, but you've lost like all the money, but twice even, and the loyal customer that could have been.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but again, like, coming back to this, like, it's cheaper to retain an existing customer versus acquiring one. It's 5 times cheaper to retain an existing customer than acquiring a new one. And that's why this constant chase of like, let's get more traffic. But what you are doing with the current traffic also matters. It's optimization, and also it's this growth lever that can help your business actually scale.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're talking about, obviously, you know, shipping, tracking information, delivery times. You mentioned the meme where, you know, the person is standing at their front door waiting for the Amazon package, even though they literally clicked purchase 5 seconds ago. You know, delivery times are extremely important to customers and to brands. You know, customers, they're expecting parcels faster than ever. Brands are quickly adopting new logistics practices, tools. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on what can and should brands do right now to monitor and impact their delivery times? What even power do they have in that situation?
Well, actually, with the current situation of the supply chain and the entire world, Like after COVID, most of the logistics routes, they changed. And unfortunately, even ordering from China, like from 2 weeks, it starts to get to 2 months now. Because like you order something from the sale, and then, yes, in 2 months, you will see the package. So right now, sourcing from like remote locations is probably a bad move if you want to really ensure that the product gets on time to the customer. So I would advise maybe to find the local suppliers or even buy in bulk from the remote locations and then distribute from the local fulfillment centers, because that significantly lowers the delivery time for the customer. It could be even the same day delivery or next day delivery. That's what the customers expect. Unfortunately, because of Amazon, because Amazon is just trying to improve their services and improve their fulfillment capacities all the time. And that's why the expectations of the customers were sky high. And not a lot of small businesses or like household brands can compete with that kind of capacity. So that's why delivery times matter. Some of the buyers, they even make their purchasing decisions based on the delivery time, especially in cases of holidays where it's time sensitive. They want to be sure that the product gets there before the holiday starts, so that they can have something to gift to their loved one. And that's why it's very important. On the other hand, there is the other end of the spectrum. If you're selling something that is really, really unique, or something that the customer is going to, like, at no other, they will not be able to get it from any other supplier, or if they want to support your specific cause, like with a lot of influencer-based merchandise, the customer will not mind even waiting for 2 months. Like, in that case, when you have the strong customer loyalty, it doesn't matter what you do. The delivery times don't matter in case you have this kind of like loyalty with the customer where they don't mind if you are slow. But in the other cases, when you are just one of those generic e-commerce brands and you are trying to compete on price or you're trying to find a winning product, delivery times, they're going to play the crucial role in the customer actually clicking not only the purchase button, but also not clicking the refund button later when they find out that it's going to take maybe 2 months for them to get the product.
Yeah. And so with all of the different business models that exist, right? So we have business to business, business to consumer, you know, wholesale, e-tail, direct to consumer. How does an organization's business model impact the way that they need to be thinking about delivery, logistics, sourcing, all these things that we're talking about? How does their business model impact the way they should be thinking?
So I would go even back to basics, like how do you plan your inventory? Because again, when you plan your inventory, there are two basic models that you can refer to. It's push and pull. So if you have stable sales and you have predictable demand for your product, you don't have to rely only on the pull. So you understand that the customers, they bought 300 products yesterday and they're going to buy 300 products today, and tomorrow they are probably going to buy 300 products. So in that case, you can plan your inventory ahead of time, and then you can place the order ahead of time. And you always have to calculate the prolonged logistics, the prolonged delivery, and consolidation as well. So if you are a smaller player, that you cannot order the whole container from China, for example, you can wait for the consolidation to take place. So again, right now, with the current situation, when you're placing an order from China from a factory or something, you should be counting on something like 5 months of delivery and all the other manipulations, like 5 months, and then you get your batch of products at the location where you want to sell from. So maybe the fulfillment center or your local warehouse or something like that. So with wholesalers, like the delivery times, usually they're more relaxed because wholesalers, they know what business they're in. they don't expect instantaneous delivery. But with retailers, it's important that on the customer delivery side, you are extremely fast. But when it comes to ordering inventory to your warehouse, you can be relaxed if you plan ahead. If you have the predictive analytics and you understand like how much demand you are going to have, because the other possibility is to run out of product. So when you have a sale, everything is going swimmingly. You get 16,000 orders per day. And then you just don't have enough inventory to actually fulfill those orders, and you still suffer this enormous breakdown called like chargeback waterfall, where like everyone is going to just get their money back, which is also damaging. So plan the inventory. It's also important to consider maybe sourcing from local sources, because sometimes the other retailers or the other players on the market, they might have excess inventory. And you can buy that cheaper inside of the same location. And sometimes there are some customs holds that you can also benefit from. So like there are various sources of how you can get the product. If that's not a unique product, by the way, because if you are producing some custom custom brand or how they are called private label, you will not be able to source from any of those other alternative sources, I would say. You will just have to rely on your supplier and plan ahead.
Absolutely. Now, shifting gears towards customer support, right? Obviously, customer support is it's a huge investment for brands. We need to support the customers after their purchase. You know, that's one of the biggest parts in getting them to come back and be a return customer. But if so much customer support cost is spent handling those inbound requests, which, as we said, often are about delivery or delays, stuff like that, how can a brand best reduce their overall customer support costs while still making sure those customers' questions get answered, especially when it comes to deliveries?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to this communication after a purchase, so the brand literally can just introduce some emails that are going to be sent to the customers proactively. Based on the shipment status, the brand can inform the customer like when the package is coming. And I think the best would be to probably just illustrate it with one of our case studies. So we work with this YouTube influencer. They are creating an animated series called Metal Family. It's literally about a family of metalheads and all the shenanigans that happen to them. So what they did at some point, they wanted to launch their own comic book. And what happened after that is they printed 10,000 comic books. And they were anticipating that this is going to be sold in maybe a couple of months. Oh, how wrong they were. Everything was sold in 1 week. And they had to just like continue shipping. And the worst part was that their fandom, since it's an animated series, was predominantly underage and not very well-versed with internet tools and filling in their order details properly. So what happened was that every third email had a typo. And every third email resulted in a hard bounce. So they were not able even to communicate to those customers because we didn't know how. They haven't had any means of communication. So that resulted in total chaos in their customer support, because every one of those customers who didn't get any email after they placed an order, but they were charged, they were sending them the question like, where is my comic book? And since they had this enormous overload of customer requests, the customers had to wait, and they sent another request and another request and up to five requests through various social media accounts and email and etc. So Metal Family was facing this real breakdown of their operations. So when we came to the picture, TrackMage was introduced. So first, what we introduced was the validation at the checkout, validation of email addresses. So those email addresses, they were really good. And once they, like, the valid email addresses, they are crucial part of this communication, because if you cannot send an email to the customer, you will not be able to keep them informed, let's say. Another thing that we did, we introduced those emails that were not only sent based on the tracking status, but also on the sheer fact of creating the shipment. Because their post service that they were using, they were not providing tracking numbers until the very moment when the package was delivered, when it was already too late. So we had to introduce a timed automation where the emails were sent based on the time. So in 2 weeks, we've got an email like, okay, maybe you should go to your post office and check if the package was delivered. But for those fortunate ones who had the tracking number, we were able to inform them with more details. And once the customers got those packages and they actually were experiencing something called like forgotten package crisis, because they had around 1,000 packages stored at the post offices across the country that were not getting delivered just because the customers were not coming to the post office and the post office was not informing the customer. So we had reduced that number from 1,000 like packages in waiting to only around like 77 at a time. So that was a huge decrease of those.
Absolutely.
Right. And with the customer support, like coming back to that question, they had this enormous relief because that endless waterfall of like, where is my comic book questions, it stopped. Because people were getting proactive information about, like, okay, so my order is coming at this date and I'm going to receive, this is the list of the items I'm receiving. And they stopped asking questions. And since the email was valid, we actually received that information. That's why. So
absolutely.
Right. Well, at the very end of this process, we are able to send the email notification about getting review.
No, and I'm glad that's a good segue. I was just about to say, you know, product reviews are another huge part of the post-purchase experience. And obviously you want to try and give them a good experience. They'll leave you a favorable review. What are some of your favorite ways or recommendations for brand to either improve their reviews, get better ones, or just to gather more of them?
Well, my favorite way would be to ask them for the review once they actually received the product. With the digital products, it's not a problem to ask them for a review immediately, or maybe you should wait for them to consume the product so that they can leave a review. But with physical products, it's more challenging. I've been experiencing some issues with an email asking for a review. It came even before I got the package. And that's a very frequent story because with prolonged delivery times, the automation runs only in 2 weeks. But what if you get your package in 2 months or in 3 weeks? So in that case, my suggestion would be to time those based on the actual status of the package. So what TrackMage does, it sends an email to ask for a review once the package actually transitions to delivered status. And that's the biggest opportunity because the person, when they first receive the package, they are very, very much excited to get the product. And they are leaving reviews in every like every fifth order from TrackMage, like from 10,000 orders, we were able to collect 2,150 reviews. That was like every fifth order left a review, and they were all predominantly positive, like 5 stars, 4 stars, and people were excited about the products that they got. Because again, Metal Family is a franchise, and they have a very passionate audience. So when they were leaving reviews, they were not only leaving reviews about the product, they also were thanking the creators of the show.
Wow. No, and I love what you said about receiving that review communication just as you get to the product. Because to your point, if you get that notification before you get the product, you're probably not going to leave a review at all at that point because you're going to forget about it. And if you get it too far after the product has been received, then, you know, to your point, that excitement has definitely dwindled a little bit.
Yeah. So, and you might even scratch your head and ask, like,
yeah, what
which
was that?
Product? Yeah, what was that?
Right.
What kind of review?
No, absolutely. Well, Irina, we've had a great conversation so far today. I've personally learned a lot. Do you mind telling our listeners where they can get in touch with you or your team if they're interested either in TrackMage or just if anything that we've talked about today has resonated?
Well, definitely we can just go to trackmage.com and see our new and improved website and maybe start a conversation with our customer support. We always want to help every person who reaches out. So trackmage.com, and we're also present on all the social media channels, so they can find me on LinkedIn or on other channels, even TikTok, from the very from very recently, but I'm going to.
That's awesome.
Well, I don't have any plans to become a celebrity anywhere, but it's just a fun experience.
Well, right as soon as we get off here, I'm going to be on my way to go follow your guys' channel. So you guys just got yourselves a new subscriber. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Well, Irina, thank you very, very much for sharing your time with us. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we can have you back on in the future.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation. Like a subtle one.
That's it for this episode of E-Commerce with Coffee, powered by Amber Engine. If you haven't gotten your fix yet, be sure to get more e-commerce brand secrets on our website at amberengine.com. And don't forget to subscribe for more episodes.